This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus rewards registration required, points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. A very good evening to everyone. Yes, it's Sunday night after a Saturday 3 p.m. kickoff, and that can only mean one thing. It's extra time, the show where we have the last word on the game before. And that game ended our team, Wolverhampton Wanderers 0, AFC Bournemouth 1. Not quite what we were expecting after the previous two performances where, you know, Wolves beat Liverpool 3-0, a magnificent performance. You know, incredible performance to come back from a goal down behind and 10 men the week before to win 2-1. High hopes was coming into that this one. If Wolves had won the game, we would have got a Premier League record for Wolves of 3 consecutive wins. Didn't happen. We'd never lost to Bournemouth in the Premier League. We lost. And had we have won the game and kept a clean sheet at Molineux, it would have equaled a record of 3 top flight wins at Molineux without conceding a goal since 1969. And of course, Wolves managed to mess it up and didn't achieve any of those things. But we're going to chew the fat on it. We're going to be asking what went wrong. We do have the word. All I'm going to say, if you know, you know. And we're going to have the spin the wheel as well. We're going to be looking at all the points that the Wolves fans want to make tonight. And we're going to be asking for their man of the match, their performance rating, and their highlight of the day, which could be anything. We've already got over 100 joining us live on YouTube. And of course, if you're watching it back on the channel, great as well. And if you're listening to it on the back on the podcast, great. That's equally fantastic. I do want to say, before we get started, a big thank you to Wolf Life, the life cover centre of Acorn to Oaks, a local Wolverhampton financial company that can help you with anything to do with your financial services, including mortgages, which is very, very important. And on that note, we do have a big Wolves fan and a regular of the channel. It is Chris from Wolf Life. We've got Chris. We've also got Sutty's back. Yay! We've got Sutty. And we've got the man, Andy Monster McLeod, is here as well to join us tonight. Hello. We haven't had you on for a long time, Andy, so it's great to have you here. How are you doing, boys?
Good, thank you, Dave.
Thanks. Great, thanks. Mm.
Fantastic. Well, we're all up. We're all so happy after that weekend performance. We can't wait to spill the joy. I'm sure you're all absolutely delighted or not. Well, we're all very disappointed. I feel like I'm a balloon that had been blown up, ready to celebrate, and someone's come along with a little pin and popped it, and we're all a bit deflated. That's kind of how I felt after the game. As high as I was after that Southampton game, I felt really, really deflated after that Bournemouth game. Sutty, how do you feel?
typical Wolves, isn't it, Dave? To be honest, it's just we're too passive. What if we'd have played like we did against Liverpool and the second half of Southampton? We would have battered them. They're one of the worst Premier League sides I've seen in a long, long time. I sent you a message, didn't I, Dave? And what did I say in that message? If we start and with Jean Moutinho, we will lose this game. And I that bloke for 5 years, 4 years, wherever he's been here, he has been absolutely outstanding. But he's got a different role within this team now for me. Everything is too passive when he's on the pitch, Dave, unless we've got something to defend. We had 616 passes yesterday to their 291. And I reckon 450 of them went sideways or backwards. Now, if I'm Gary O'Neill at Bournemouth, I'm thinking to myself, fantastic, Moutinho's playing here. There's going to be no cutting edge as such. He's safe. He's very predictable. He'll do you a nice, steady job, but he's not going to create you those out-and-out chances. Now, I would rather have had João Gomes in and gone at them, and they would have buckled. Unfortunately, although he's been a great servant for us, João Moutinho, he is no longer the Hollywood player he used to be, Dave. It's a different role for him now. When you're 2-0 up, 3-0 up, all right, if a 2-1 up, bring him on, 20 minutes to go. He will do you a job. But we must not start. You think Southampton first half, I know we went down to 10 men, but we had to make changes. Now, Lamina will be back for Fulham, won't he? Because he got two yellows, so be back. And you watch the difference in that team. Neves will push a bit further up the pitch, will become a lot more direct, and we'll be a lot quicker on the ball. There will be less side-to-side passing. And it would not surprise me, although I'm bitterly disappointed with that yesterday because it was poor. It would not surprise me because someone's got to go to Fulham and get a result. And it wouldn't surprise me if it was us.
Well, Fulham are absolutely on fire at the moment. There's no denying that. Chris, you know, obviously, you'd watched the game and seen the game. Do you concur with what Sutty's had to say there about Moutinho? Obviously, that's that's his feeling on it. Do you think Moutinho's got a different role to play now? Do you think he's not a starter for the team?
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree. We really miss Lamina and that bloody stupid, excuse my language, that red card. I mean, it should never have been given. And it's cost us this game in a lot of ways, or certainly cost us the way we played. We weren't pressing enough. We should have been pressing their midfield higher up the pitch. They were sitting back and just the back four were getting the ball, passing it out to the midfield. We weren't really engaging them until pretty much the halfway line. We should have been pressing much, much further up, which Sutty's pretty much said we would have if Lamina had been there, giving us the security. But Neves and Mateus didn't really feel that maybe they could push up enough. I thought we played well in periods. I did think they parked the bus a bit. They weren't really bothered about... All they wanted to do is not lose, in my opinion. We played well in the first half. Adama played quite well, Semedo. But we should definitely have pressed their midfield higher up the pitch. We could have been... I wanted to be a bit less safe with the passes. Yeah. I know we talk about sideways passes. But maybe try the odd Hollywood ball over the top and just see what happens. You know, you don't want to do it all the time, but it'd be a bit speculative occasionally. And we all know this, but good God, I wish they'd shoot more. You know,
we did have 15 shots to their five, and we did have five shots on target to their one. But all our shots, we never really created one clear cut chance, did we?
Their keeper made one save off Neves. Wasn't there the Dawson header?
Sarabia had a shot as well that was saved.
Sarabia had a shot. And, but hardly made it. He was hardly, apart from Neves' shot in the second half, he didn't really have to try too hard to make too many of the saves. And
on that shot from Neves, it was a great shot. Yeah. And I've watched it back, and obviously the keeper dealt with it really well. And these are the sort of things when the luck's going for you. That defender, which it just flew back past his ass by about half an inch. If that hits his ass, it deflects the other side and goes in.
Totally agree with you. That's one of the things.
Go on, Chris. Sorry.
I just wish we'd shoot instead of looking for a better chance. Sometimes when you get half a chance, just hit it, because it's often enough that teams have a deflection of somebody's ankle or whatever, and it goes in against us. So I think maybe we should be shooting a little bit more. Maybe we get the odd lucky deflection. And that's what we would have needed. If we'd have got one goal against them, they'd have gone to pieces.
Well, that's what I was kind of hoping for. I thought they would have fell apart. Joe makes a good point, and I was just thinking about this. In the second half, I mean, I'm watching it in the North Bank. Daniel Pedence came on. He seemed to go past 1, 2, 3. And as Stan mentioned in our instant reaction, it was like a barn door opened up. And then he carried on going and didn't pull the trigger. I mean, did anyone else see that? Or is it just...
Yeah.
You're right.
It's almost like we're trying to play like Arsenal used to, where they're trying to walk it in the back of the net. If you look... You can shoot, it can come off somebody's backside, and it's dangerous. When it's anywhere and the body's in, it can cut. I don't care if it comes off anybody's backside, comes off, you know, the back of their head. I don't care as long as it hits the onion bag. But you've got to have a go for that to happen.
Yeah.
And we just try and walk it in the pitch. Now, you look at when Wolves are at their best, Dave. We get the ball. And we counter attack, and there's always, I guarantee you, it'll start with a long diagonal ball somewhere along the line. Right? There's nothing wrong with Route 1 football. And with the pace that we've got, it's like Traoré, he'll come looking for the ball and it's not given to him. He shouldn't be coming looking for a ball. They should just be banging it straight over the top of dissecting a midfield and making them centre halves turn, because they ain't got a chance against him if he makes them turn. Now, maybe he does need 5 or 6 shots to hit the net, but one will go. With just two tippy tappy, 616 passes to their 291, 12 corners to their 2, 69% possession. They've had one shot on target. We've had 15 and they've had 5 shots. And we come away with a 1-0 defeat to possibly one of the worst teams that's ever been in this league. It just reminds me of Huddersfield when they did the double over of the season.
I remember coming out of the McCall Point at Huddersfield when we lost to them away. I remember going to that game. I think they'd
Monday night that was
third win. And all the Huddersfield fans were saying, can we play you every week? Because they only won 3 games and the beat Wolves home and away. Andy, you've been waiting very, very patiently. You've heard some of the comments there. Obviously, you were a midfield maestro yourself when you played. I think of a quite. I've heard really powerful things about you on how good a midfielder you were. Obviously, Wolves have come off the back of 2 really great results where we're absolutely brilliant, and we feel like right now we need to follow it up by putting Bournemouth away. You've heard what Sutty's had to say about Moutinho. You've heard Chris sing. I mean, where do you sit on that with Moutinho?
I think, you know, he's like you know, as people have said so far, if you're bringing him on to close out a game or to see out that last sort of 20 minutes, then it seems to suit him. You know, we know that he won't get around as much as he has done in previous seasons, but starting him sort of dictates that we're going to play a certain way, and I think it almost hands the impetus back to the opposition. I mean, there's probably question marks as to whether Gomez is ready to start a game, but you know, you're playing Bournemouth at home, who you know they're going to sit in like that. I just feel like, you know, we recycle the ball around so much, it's very easy to play against. You know, no one, as we've just said, no one's really getting in behind. No one's turning the defenders and getting them playing. You know, Adama really was our best outlet, I think, first half. I mean, you couldn't really knock the intensity, I don't think. I think they started the game, you know, we were camped in their half when we won the ball back really well. But we just seemed to lack that bit of nous, that that ball that can get in behind and cause people problems. We didn't really create that much. I think the big thing that really surprised me yesterday was how we sort of ran out of ideas as soon as they scored. I just couldn't see them scoring first half. I thought if we scored one, I thought that would be it then. I think that we'd have probably gone on to win the game comfortably. But as soon as they scored, it's almost like all the belief just drained from us. And you know, we resorted to quite a few long balls. But I think the big thing for me yesterday was I just didn't feel, there's been a lot said, hasn't there, about Lopetegui's in-game management and how his subs have changed games. I felt like the more subs we made yesterday, the more confusing it got. It didn't really seem to make much sense. I thought Traore was probably our out ball or our bit of something to do something different. He took him off. And when he brought subs on, it didn't really seem, you just couldn't really see what the plan was. We brought Costa on. We then quickly followed that up with Jimenez. I don't know.
I was a bit surprised to see both Costa and Jimenez on the pitch at the same time because they're both very, very similar sort of players. We've seen that sort of like decision making when Bruno Lage used to put every attacking option on the pitch in the hope that something would stick. And Lopetegui's been very, very quite savvy. All his changes have been very, very good. And you know, we've seen in previous games. And yesterday, they, like you say, they didn't really seem to affect the game. I thought we started the game really, really well. I thought the first 15 minutes, we were all over them like a rash. The ball was pinging around their penalty box and it never dropped for us. They got lucky, Bournemouth. There was one period of play, which was about a 3 or 4 minute period of play. They couldn't clear it out their box. It just wouldn't drop to one of our players to just put it away. And they got through that period, which that first 10, 15 minutes. And then we kind of just ran out of ideas after that. And I said at halftime on my match vlog, if you've, any of you have watched it, I was sort of talking about halftime. You know, we've been totally dominant, really, without really hurting them. And it's like, I felt like it was a game that, like, it's going to sting us, you know, sting us. And then, like, 3 or 4 minutes into the second half, you know, the cross comes in, which should have been blocked before the cross come in, to be fair. And the guy's literally ran into the ball with his knee. And it's, he didn't, like he said, on his interview after the game, he didn't know where it had gone until he saw it hit the side net. And there was no real intent. It was a bit of luck. Well done for him for getting in the right position. But after that, I never really thought that we looked like we were going to score unless we had like a bit of luck or something like that. We just really never hurt them. And I felt that every ball that went into the box for Bournemouth, their defenders seemed to be first to it every single time and they just dealt with it.
Yeah.
I think I read that out of the 12 corners we had, we only connected with one of them.
That was Jorginho's header that went over the bar.
Yeah. And it's like, don't put the ball up in the air. If they're going to win everything, maybe you don't do that.
Yeah, it felt like a lot of the crosses were kind of floated up there rather than they weren't really whipped in. They seemed to be quite high, and that just plays right into, you know, the keeper and the centre-half's hands. There was no real intent with anything that we did. It was all very
aggressive.
You know, so it just felt a little bit like, Sarabia's crossing wasn't great. It was all very flat. The balls he played in particularly didn't really beat the first man. It just felt like, you know, sometimes, especially with someone like Dawson now, especially we've got a real threat from set pieces and the crosses didn't really ever pose that much of a challenge, really.
Yeah, good point you make about Sarabia because he's coming on a, you know, scoring loads of goals, having loads of assists. And for me, he kind of went, he runs around a lot, but he didn't really seem to contribute a lot yesterday. All the, you know, he seemed to be missing a lot of the time and stuff like that. Like, I think it comes back to what you said. There didn't seem any real cohesion yesterday with the team. And they kind of run out. Now, is that because Lamina wasn't in the team, but then he only played 20 minutes against Southampton when he come on towards the end and he came on again and did his best. But what would you say Wolves' best formation is? You know, what if you were the manager and you could pick any of the players, you know, what team, what formation would you think's best suited for Wolves, and who's starting that team?
Well, I think about a team like a Bournemouth, Dave. I'm playing a 4-4-2 against them. They are rubbish, Dave. The thing is, you've got a centre forward who's not a centre forward in Cunha, right? He's a number 10, so he needs.
They seem to see him as a number 9, though, don't they?
He's not a number 9, Dave. I'll tell you now, if Fabio Silva was at the club, he'd be getting a game now, and them two would be a partnership.
Yeah.
Right? So we'd be playing, or I don't know, a 3-5-2 or something like that. 4 at the back. Look, he is not a lone striker for a start. He will work his socks off for you, show some nice touches, loads. All I'm saying to you is, and please don't think I'm a one-man crusade against this guy. I'm not. He's been outstanding for us. But as soon as you put João Moutinho on to start a game, you are saying to our other team, right, Wolves are going to be very passive today. There's going to be no real direct football. There's going to be no real quick, slick passing. They'll play it in through the channels. There'll be none of that. Now play it up to Moutinho, go side to side, side to side. It'll come back and it'll start again. The trouble is, you're attacking players, then they're going, then they're coming back, then they're going, and then they're coming back. And it's all the momentum's lost. And unfortunately, what you've got to do, sooner or later, you've got to trust in these youthful players that you've just spent £20 million per player and say, right, this is the game against the second worst team on paper in this league. This is the game where you're going to go out there and this crowd are going to sing your name loud. Right? Because it's the same again. Poor atmosphere yesterday. There's nothing to feed off, Dave. You have to have something that excites you, right? Look at Liverpool at home. Okay, it was Liverpool. And let's not beat around the bush here. Liverpool were poor. Now it's Liverpool, but they were poor that day. But we didn't give them the chance to try and be good, Dave, did we? Mm-hmm. We closed them down fast. We were at them, you know, 15 minutes with two up. We were battering them. So they didn't have a chance. We've gone out of there yesterday with an air of arrogance, really, thinking these are second bottom. Well, we'll score at some point. They could be playing now, Dave. They wouldn't have scored. Because you've got to go out there with the right mindset and attack these people, these teams. They're poor. We've got a team.
I think we did attack, but we didn't attack with them.
We didn't attack with intent.
It reminded me of a game early season where we had lots of possession, we had some shots, but we never really created anything and we couldn't finish anything. It was one of them games where we had a lot of shots and we never scored. And I thought we were over that because we scored three against... Well, we'd scored three against Liverpool away, really, okay. We had that one chalked off. But we scored in the cup. We scored three against Liverpool, you know, at home. We scored two with 10 men last week against Southampton. We're starting to put, you know, score the goals. And that's why it's a bit disappointing. Now, is it... just a bad day at the office. I mean, we heard about Lopetegui. He's done fantastically well for us. 10 points up until he come for all season. 13 points since he's been there. Done amazing. And we know he probably hasn't eaten since the weekend. So, you know, he says he can't eat after a match. He must be really, really beating himself up about that because it was a big opportunity. Was it tactically is wrong? Do you think the message has been sound? Do you think Moutinho, like what you say, is a great player to bring on, you know, with his experience to close the game out? Like what he did against Liverpool when he came on, he won the ball, two tackles. He made that pass up to Adama and we got that breakaway goal. Very, very clever, you know, had that... came on probably when everyone else was tiring, so the fitness levels are there for him. He's still a winner, Moutinho, but he's not quite at it for you guys as a starter anymore.
Not for me, Dave. I mean, it's just too passive. It's all right, Tammy. We had a lot of ball. We had a lot of attacks yesterday. But there's a difference between attacking and there's a difference between attacking with intent, Dave. Fast. Really going at them. And I mean, really going at them. I watched the Villa game. You probably didn't yesterday, but I found it quite funny watching that. I thought I was going to have bragging rights big time all weekend.
We'd have been 2 points behind Villa, had we won that game.
Arsenal's 2-1 behind. They're back out on the pitch 3 minutes early, Dave. Arteta, you could see he was absolutely seething. So there was teacups, everything kicked around that dressing room, I can assure you. Because they came back out and they were like a caged animal when they came out. Now, that's how Wolves should have been coming out. And let's not beat around the bush. The Villa are a damned better side than Bournemouth.
They are. I mean, Andy, what points do you want to make in regards to that game yesterday? What you know, we've talked about this, but like, what would you like to pick out of that you saw?
Yeah, as I said, I thought first half the intensity was there in terms of winning the ball back, but they just seemed to run out of ideas in the final third. I think what really frustrated me second half, I thought we'd come out, I thought they'd have had a chance to regroup, go again. And actually, I felt like we got sucked into Bournemouth's game plan. I thought second half, yeah, we all saw it. And I think, you know, it's probably something to discuss in a bit more detail. But you saw it as soon as they scored 60 minutes, you suddenly got players down with cramp. Yeah, we saw all the tricks, didn't we, yesterday, where they played the game brilliantly second half. It's the most frustrating thing to be on the other end of.
All the dark arts came out.
Yeah, but it worked, didn't it? But I felt we got sucked into it. You see how players get frustrated. You know, the long ball start, these kind of Hollywood passes, trying to pick up, you know, through a wall of players. It just didn't feel like we stuck to our way of playing. And the substitutions then second half, they all just kind of made it look quite desperate. Throw more people on. It just didn't suit the way we finished the game, didn't suit the way that the players that were there. It just didn't seem to have a coherent plan. I think that was down to how, you know, we let Bournemouth frustrate us, really. I mean, that's two games now against them this season, and we haven't looked like scoring in either one, really, have we, to be honest.
Absolutely, mate. And like you've got like Andy Sinton's agreeing with Sutty, Adrian Richards again, another good point, Mac. Ref allowed them to do this. Chris, what's the point you'd like to make?
Yeah, they're dark arts. I mean, God, call it what you like, but they were just rolling around on the floor, weren't they? And at one point, it was just like pulling your hair out. You know, one would fall over and then 3 minutes later, another. Yeah. And they did a brilliant job of stopping us getting any momentum because we had all the momentum in the first half, didn't put the ball away, and it's just like, you know, and we've all been Wolves fans for ages. We've been here. You don't put the ball in the net when you're on top. Sometimes it comes back and bites you. And then what they got ahead, and it was just so irritating. And I thought the ref didn't have any control. He lost control. I don't know. I heard somebody say he hadn't refed a lot of Premier League games. I don't know how true that is. But it seemed to me that a stronger ref might have, you know, done us a bit more of a favour. Yeah. Stop that stupid play.
Because someone asked me a question here. If a player is it down injured or goes off the pitch or whatever, are they not supposed to go to the nearest touchline?
Yeah.
And if they don't, do they not get booked?
Yeah.
When it suits, by the looks of things, anyway. I mean, Billing went down twice. And then he gets up, and I'm sitting in the south bank. He walks off. He's getting loads of abuse. He's laughing. He knows what the refs. It's almost like pantomime stuff. The ref lets it. The guy that went off towards the end, yeah, the ref was right next to him, almost pushed him off to say, get off quicker. He slows down, turns around, claps the away end. You know, it's pathetic. But if they don't stamp on it quickly, they know they can get away with it. I mean, I don't know how long the ball was in play second half, but it felt like it was so stop-start. Like you say, it just completely killed our momentum. And we got frustrated.
And we got pulled into it, didn't we? And I think that's one of the things that Lopetegui's alluded to in his comments is the fact that when we went down, we should have stayed calm. And we kind of lost the game plan and got sucked into what they were trying to achieve. And, you know, you have to say, fair play to Bournemouth. You've got to say they came with a game plan, which was to to stifle us, to frustrate us, and if they can, nick a goal. And literally, as I say, Sar never had a shot to save all game other than the one that flew past him. And then they couldn't believe the luck when that went in at the start of the second half. And they've literally done us to a kipper, and done a job on us. And you have to say, fair play to Bournemouth, because they did what they needed to do to win the game. And sometimes, we've said it before with Wolves in the past, we can be a little bit too nice. We don't play the dark arts as much as certain other teams. We're way too nice. But this is a team, Wolves, have had four sendings off this year, you know, and we've had no one sent off against us. And it baffles me how these stats still keep carrying on and we don't seem to get the decisions. And we're talking about the refereeing again. But hey, it is what it is. Let's get on to our man of the match performance rating and our moment of the day. Chris, before we get on to that, just remind everyone about Wolf Life and Acorn to Oak.
Okay. So, yeah, Wolf Life, Acorn to Oaks. We're a local company based in Wolverhampton. We do all financial services, so it's your mortgages, life insurance, any type of property insurance or business insurance. So if any guys watching this have got your own business, we can help you out with your business insurances. Pensions, investments, anything you'd like us to do. Wolf Life, we're running the competition to win a signed shirt. Just need to leave your name and details and I'll give you a call. We need to give you a quote and then you're in the draw. And, you know, we're all here to help everybody out because that's what we're all about.
And they say they're a local company. You also do stuff for employers, don't you, as well?
Yeah, employers. We can cover employer liability, professional indemnity insurance, all of that sort of thing. We've got all the bases covered. We're here to just anybody wants to check any sort of insurances or protection, we can help you out. And it'll probably be the easy to first.
And I know that you're helping someone out with a mortgage that came through recently, which is fantastic.
Chris. Well, and Dave, I didn't tell you, but I was at last weekend. I was out with my girlfriend, and one of her friends said, "I recognise you, don't I?" And he's about 20 years old, so it's like, "I don't know you, mate," but he recognised me from on here.
Oh, did he?
He did, yeah. And he's like, "Okay, then." Fame at last.
Now, that's nice, you know. You're a tough guy anyway. And as I say, support a local company, Wolf Life, Acorn to Oaks, mortgages and stuff like that in the news at the moment. They're a local company. They like to help the Wolves fans. So get on to that. Chris, your man of the match performance rating and your highlight of the day, if you can dig one out.
So I'm going to say Adama because I thought he was our best attacking player. Just one thing that I meant to say earlier, I cannot understand why they took Adama off and then put Costa and Jimenez on.
Well, he said that he was tiring, Lopetegui said.
Well, maybe he should have given him the chance to put the ball on Raul's head. But anyway, maybe he was tiring, fair enough. So Adama's my man of the match. I'm going to say 6 out of 10 because I thought first half was maybe a 7 and the second half was a 5. So let's make it a 6 out of 10. Moment of the day, I'm going to be a little bit predictable and say Neves' shot because it was one of the few things that got me off my seat in the second half because there wasn't too much else. Apart from when the two players bumped into each other, you know, what else was there to talk about in the second half? It was a good shot.
There wasn't a lot, was there? Keith, same question to you. Man of the match, performance rating and your moment of the day. And it could be anything. It doesn't have to be the game. It could be something that happened during that day that's part of the experience.
Dawson's my man of the match. I don't think Dawson's done anything wrong. He's been quality. He's exactly what we needed in that back line. Because we'd had no leader, did we, in the back line. So I'm going to give it Dawson. It's a 5 for me, Dave.
It's a 5, fair play.
It was poor.
Yeah.
It's all right saying we've had loads of possession and the like, but it was poor. And the highlight of my day was a nice Chinese takeaway last night, Dave.
Hey, when did we have we had a Chinese as well, didn't we? Friday night, we had a Chinese. We had, what did you have? I had chicken in black bean.
No, I had deep fried chili chicken, chicken fried rice, and chips. And that was the highlight of my day.
I had a bit of chips with it as well. I must admit, when you haven't had a Chinese takeaway for a while, it was definitely nice. Andy, over to you, mate. Same question.
I think Semedo, for me, I thought he played well, particularly first half. I thought he's he comes in for a lot of stick, doesn't he? But I think there was a lot of effort there yesterday, and at times he did come around really well, and I thought it was one of his better games. I think Six as well. You know, we've seen a lot worse, haven't we, than what we saw yesterday, but still, you know, not good enough. Highlight, not much to pick from. Probably the traffic. I got home a lot quicker than I was expecting to, so we'll go with that.
I think that's a good pick, that is. Right then, hold on. Andy Huntington, highlight of the day. Dave's dad going off on one post-match in the match reaction. That was class, that was. And if you haven't watched the post-match reaction, definitely check it out. Right then, so we're going to bring on the Wheel of Joy. Andy, I know that you haven't done this before, so... Here is the wheel. So basically, can you all see that?
Yeah.
So basically, we spin this wheel, and if a question comes up, you've all got to answer the question. And don't forget that you guys in the chat, there is a secret word that all of the pundits are saying tonight. So at the end, I'll be asking you what that word is. So here's the wheel. It's spinning. Right then, we're going to go with Andy first. Do aliens exist?
No.
No?
Yeah, if they do, then I'd still fancy them to put a team together to beat us like Bournemouth did, I think.
What's your reasons for no, Andy?
I just think there's enough going on here, to be honest, to need something on another planet. I'm a bit too logical for that kind of stuff.
No is good enough answer. Chris?
I'm going to go against what Andy just said, and the logic would suggest there's so many stars with potential planets like ours, there's almost certainly got to be aliens out there. However, are they going to be technologically advanced enough for us to ever know about it? Probably not. So I'm going to say yes, but maybe we're never going to bump into them.
Yeah, well, that's a good one. And finally, Sooty. So, Sooty, you've got the casting vote on this question.
There's got to be, Dave, hasn't there? Surely. It's a big universe out there, isn't it? We can't just be the only living being, surely.
Billions of galaxies, billions of stars in those galaxies, and billions of planets running around. Logically, Andy, you'd say there probably is an Earth-like planet somewhere and there's life. But there's the question. So I think
there's a few aliens in Sandwell, Dave.
Well, we do. Yeah, I know.
None of us have to say it.
Oh, by the way, we should say very well done to the Wolves women as well today. You've got through to the semi-final. What's the cup of which cup is it? Is it the County Cup that they've got through to the semi-final? And they also beat Nottingham Forest 3-1 recently as well. Forest were top of the league. Wolves beat them. Wolves women beat them 3-1. They're now 3 points behind, but Forest have a better goal difference. So, well done to the girls. They tend to score a few goals as well. The girls do. They scored 5 as well in a recent match. They know where they're
playing it soon for us.
Well, yeah, that's probably put it. They'd probably put it away, to be honest. Anyway, guys, absolutely brilliant contribution. Much appreciated for coming on and giving your thoughts on that. And hopefully, Andy, it's good to have you back.
Yeah, cheers, Dave. Enjoyed it.
And you, Sooty. I know you've had a lot to deal with. Personal wise recently as well, so thanks for coming on tonight, mate.
Thank you, Dave.
And don't forget Chris from Wolf Live, get onto the thing, get in touch with him, he'll look after you if you need any financial help, mortgages, life insurance, whatever. He's your man. Cheers, guys.
Cheers. Cheers,
Dave. Take care, mate.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Absolutely brilliant contributions there from the guys. Just before I get on, I do want to show you these little things. I've got sent these from Kickoff Merchants. They're actually ceramic beer mats. I got a Billy Wright one, a King John, I don't know if you can see that, and a Bully one and a Martino one. So check them out on social. We ran a competition with them recently and chap won. So thanks to Kickoff Merchants for sending me these. They are really, really, they're not paper ones. They're actually proper ceramic ones. They're very good. So check them out on social because they're really, really good ceramic beer mats. And someone who definitely likes his beer is Chris. And then we've got Hoops. And we've got Jack. So this is our second lot today. Chris, you like your beer, don't you?
I have been known to partake in the consumption of alcoholic substances from time to time, Dave.
Fantastic. Well, yeah, I know. And you've got the old blinds behind you today. The
yeah,
same.
Yeah.
I'm
not in prison. It's blinds.
Same backdrop. It's an argument. I don't think me and you are quite in line for the best backdrop. Jack, with his wallpaper, is quite good. And then we do, of course, have Hoops with his wolf on his shoulder, which is and he's the
yes.
Wears the top. It looks actually as if he perched on your shoulder today, mate.
I know. I had him on with his yellow tie for deadline day last time out, so he's not changed. So that's why he's in his shirt there. So yeah. But I'm
surprised he hasn't got a noose around his neck after yesterday.
Well, I know, yeah. I had to stay away for a while, yeah. The proverbial, I haven't got a cap to kick, have I? So, but, I wouldn't take it out on him. But, I'm sure he's not feeling too good, as you guys aren't really, as we're getting over what we saw yesterday.
Absolutely. And, guys, if you do want to participate in the chat, don't forget, if you subscribe to the channel, you've only got to subscribe for like 2 seconds. You'll be able to join in the conversation with the rest of the guys on the chat. And if you do see someone with a little wolf head next to them, that means that they're members of the channel and they got custom emojis and we've got a Discord group and stuff like that. And we've had quite a few people that have joined the membership recently. It's a really great group to be involved in. And we chat every single day. Guys, who's going to kick me off with the first point then? Jack. The voice of reason.
Yeah, that was a massive step backwards yesterday, wasn't it? If we're being really honest, you know, before the game, everyone was talking about, you know, if we win, we're going to go to 12th. We'll be 8 points away from safety. This, that, and the other. 2 points a game average, and if we get 3 yesterday, winning 3 games in a row is difficult in the Premier League. We did really well to win back to back games. That's hard enough in itself. So it was always going to be a big ask yesterday. And you know, I agree with what Sutty said earlier. Bournemouth, they're a very, very poor team. I know they've got new Hollywood owners, and he's Michael Jordan, isn't it, who owns them now?
Yeah.
But they haven't invested particularly well, I don't think. Some of the players they had yesterday weren't great. They're the kind of team, you know, when we won the championship under Nuno, the only team we didn't beat was Sunderland, who finished rock bottom. The first year we came up, we lost twice to Huddersfield. They only won 3 games all season. 2 of them was against us.
That's right.
I think the year after that, we couldn't beat Albion and they were absolutely dreadful all year.
Yeah.
And it feels a bit like that this time, doesn't it? We lost and drew with Bournemouth and haven't scored in either game. And they're a poor side. So it's really frustrating that you know, there was an opportunity there and we haven't taken it. That's kind of what it feels like, a missed opportunity. You know, it's not a disaster. We've got to kind of put that out of our heads. You know, it's not a terrible, terrible thing to happen. It was always going to be, there was going to be a weekend between now and the end of the season where we lost and everyone around us won, because that's what happens. And I'd much rather it happen today in the middle of February than right at the end. If we'd have lost to Everton with a week to go and all of a sudden we've got to go to Arsenal on the last day and get something, then you start to panic. So let's get this bad performance out of the way now. I think Lopetegui will have learnt a lot from yesterday. He won't have faced many teams that play like Bournemouth did yesterday. The only one he's probably faced since he came in was Gillingham in the Cup, when they just sat 11 blokes in their box and said, go on, then try and break us down. That's kind of what Bournemouth did, wasn't it?
Yeah.
You know, so he hasn't. And, you know, my friend Tony and me were talking earlier on the phone. The next few games we've got, teams won't play like that. Fulham won't do that on Friday night. You know, when we go to Liverpool at Anfield, they won't sit back and defend like that. Tottenham won't do that when they come to Molineux. And Leeds certainly won't do that with the way that they play. So it's just whether it's a case of we just sort of our DNA is programmed to struggle against teams with a deep block. I don't know.
So we've got, because we've got Fulham.
Yeah.
Fulham and Liverpool away, Tottenham at home. And then who we got after that?
Newcastle and then Leeds, isn't it? Yeah.
Newcastle away. So we've got three away games against Fulham, Liverpool and Newcastle. A home game to Tottenham. Bloody hell. But the funny thing is, these are the sort of games that Wolves go and do a performance in. Yeah. You know, it wouldn't surprise me in the slightest. We go to Fulham. They've just beaten Brighton. They're absolutely having a fantastic season, Fulham. I mean, they're absolutely flying. They're in a situation a bit like we were last week, you know, confident, full of confidence. You know, we're invincible. We're going to win every game. And then it'll be a team like Wolves that'll go and do them over at Craven Cottage. And let's hope that's right, because as much as we, I mean, you know, look at it in perspective. The Liverpool game, a lot of people have had us down to lose. We won that, got 3 points. We were losing against Southampton with 10 men. That's another 0 points. We end up winning that and got 6 points. And the one game that we think that we're going to win, or we should win, we lose. So we could have, you know, in context, you could have took it as Liverpool 0, Southampton 0, Bournemouth 3. We'd have had 3 points. We got 6. 6 points out of 3 games, two points a game is what you want, isn't it? Generally. Trying to look at positives here, Chris. You don't look impressed.
Dave, we started a new TV series yesterday at Molineux called Can't Score, Won't Score. We've had a couple of practices at it this season, but we were devoid of any idea. I know we had a go at them for 15 minutes, but we've got to break sides like that down. We can't do it. We've got the midfielders and we've got the wide players to do it. We haven't got the strikers, so we've got to be able to make the space and do stuff. And it just was, it was bewildering at times how we played with the team we were against. It just some of the players on the pitch yesterday did something which I can't abide, and I cannot stand players who won't give application in a match. And we had I think 3 or 4 players on that pitch yesterday that really.
You're saying 3 or 4 players. Who were you particularly saying in that regard?
Worst one of all, who I'm getting sick of seeing him every week, is Nunes. You know, Nunes. This guy, he's great at picking a ball up at the edge of our box and gliding past 3 and 4 and creating nothing. But once that ball's gone, he doesn't run back. You watch him next time he plays when he loses a ball moving up forward into a forward position midfield. How he doesn't track back, he doesn't support. It's awful. He was the worst one. Sarabia, very pretty, very technical, but he was so ineffective yesterday. He didn't create anything, and that's what he's there to do. You know,
Well, he has been brought in to create and score goals, because that's, you know, look at his record last year, was it for where he was, 15 goals, got 9 assists or something like that. That's what he's been brought in to do, is create and score goals. You know, he got a shot away yesterday. It was misfiring. Someone
did a great tackle on Pedence.
Yeah, it was that Pedence, when Pedence looked like he was going to, because it, from, I mean, you guys can tell me if I'm right or wrong here. I'm in the North Bank. Pedence has got the ball. He's cutting, he's come across. It looks in all the world that he's created a shooting opportunity for himself. And then it carries on going.
Because I'm near you. I'm in the Steve Ball, at the top of Steve Ball, towards your end of the, you know, I'm on the 18-yard box. And then, so I'm watching him running from the left across, thinking, right, here's the bit where the waves are parted with Moses now. He goes straight into the box here and have a shot. And he just went further right, and then just ran into Sarabia, who didn't get out of the way. And, they tackled each other, and that was it.
That was all coming down to shooting. I mean, Pedence has been quite good at that. Hoops, I mean, how do you see that? I mean, from what Chris and Jack have said, and, you know, what's your viewpoint on it?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of points. I think to Jack's earlier point, I agree in respect to the opposition. Yes, we've played teams in and around us, i.e. Everton and Southampton, but on both occasions, we were the away side. So I guess it's the first real opportunity, you know, aside from the Gillingham game that's been referenced, where really the onus was on us. The onus was on us as the home side to come out and to, you know, play with intent. And we didn't. And that was the frustrating part. You could argue about the setup in terms of, you know, I listened to the early points raised with Matidio, and I accept that. And perhaps there could have been an argument to play another forward yesterday. You know, Costa had a decent cameo, didn't he, against Southampton? So why not play him for 60 minutes? You know, but you talk about the lack of goals, and I think you referenced it earlier, Dave. It felt as if we'd solved that because we've been getting goals from different areas recently with Dawson and so forth. But somebody put a stat out on Twitter yesterday, and it is grim in terms of the output when you look at it in figures. I think I've got it in front of me here, so quickly rattle through this. Pedence, 22 appearances, 5 goals. Adama, 20 appearances, 1 goal. Huang, 17, 0 goals. Costa, 11 appearances, 0 goals. Neto, probably a bit harsh, but 8 appearances, 0 goals. Kuna, 6, 0 goals. Sarabia, 4 appearances, 0 goals. So the 6 goals there between 7 attackers. We've gone 33 Premiership games without a striker scoring since Jimenez scored in April of last year.
Wow.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's really poor. You know, they were there for the taking. They did what we expected Bournemouth to do, is frustrate us. You know, you mentioned the dark arts. You know, it was their fullback, wasn't it, second half, who went down. And then, you know, I don't know if he was going for an Oscar, but suddenly he appeared that he was resurrected. You know, he was in some sort of Hollywood script. He was dead and then he was alive. You know, but you're going to get that because ultimately that's their game. They've come here to S-house a result out of it, and they've done it. Now, ultimately, the game should have been out of sight within the first 30 minutes. And then I think as Lopetegui said in his post-match, we forgot how to play. We panicked. There was still so much time left in the game, but we were trying to force the issue. No, we had the players and we should have gone, let's just back ourselves here. You know, yes, okay, go direct. But it just seemed like we'd run out of ideas. However, you look at those fixtures coming up, they do look difficult on paper, but it might lean towards the way in which we play. Perhaps that we're not going to be coming up against the Bournemouth, but in banks of, you know, players behind and being as ultra defensive as they were. And it might give us opportunities. We didn't need that reality check because we didn't want it. We wanted to be further away from those boils, but we've got it now. And it's all about the reaction. And I think that there are still points that we could get within that next sequence of games. And I'm still relatively relaxed. But it was a tough watch yesterday.
The thing that really, I was walking out of the ground yesterday, and somebody was stood by me as we were shuffling out the John Island, as we have to, or whatever it's called now, Steeple, as we have to every week. And did you see Adamo when he brought that ball down on that spin? It was brilliant. And I said to him, "Why did he have to do it?" And he said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Why did he have to do that?" I said, because Nunes passed him a ball that was over his head, over here, and it was a clear pass to make. And sometimes we don't think about why we say things like that. I just couldn't understand it. No, it's...
It was an awful ball, you're right.
Yeah. Looked like he was going straight out. Guys, whilst we're on this run of fixtures, we've got Fulham, Liverpool, Newcastle away, and Tottenham at home. Just for the benefit of everyone watching here, and all you guys in the chat, you can join into this as well. How many points are we going to get out of those four? We'll go with Jack, and I want you to tell us win, lose, draw, whatever, and how many points. Jack first, and everyone in the chat can put your points on this as well. Four games, Fulham away, Liverpool away, Tottenham at home, Newcastle away.
I think we might get a draw at Fulham on Friday night. So that's one. We could easily get a draw against Liverpool away. They've improved since, obviously, they played us the other day. And I think their strikers have started to score, haven't they? And they've got one or two back. So it'll be a tough ask. I think we'll beat Tottenham at home. I've just got a feeling. I think we every year we outplay Tottenham at Molineux, and they always, nick it against the run of play.
That's kind of like how it's been with Liverpool, hasn't it? Until the week last weekend.
Yeah, so I think we owe them something. And then Newcastle, their home form's pretty good, isn't it? So again, it's one of them. It's on the day, isn't it? I mean, I think what kind of goes for us at the minute is we've got a top level manager, and I think he'll be able to isolate games and kind of go, right, forget the result before, forget what's coming next. Let's just work on a plan for this particular game. So I think he won't be sort of intimidated by going to Newcastle and going to Liverpool and having Tottenham come into Molineux. He'll kind of relish the opportunity, I think, to play against the top players and come up with a game plan. So, I mean, it's famous last words, but I don't see us losing four on the spin, for example. We will get points in that run of games. It's just, again, the Premier League is kind of, you say, oh, let's win that. We'll beat Bournemouth, and then you don't. Oh, we'll lose to Liverpool, but then you beat them. So it's difficult to say, well, we'll get a point here and three here, and because you probably end up with the points you expect, but not necessarily in the games that you're kind of expecting them from. So it's a long way round of answering, but I think we'll probably get 4 points from the next four.
4 points, because you said that we get a draw against Liverpool, Fulham and beat Tottenham. That's five, isn't it?
Oh, five, then. There you go.
Five points. Hoops.
I think 4 points. I think, and I hope that we get a reaction against Fulham and get a win, which I know is a tough task, but certainly not out of the realms of possibilities. I think Liverpool will be tough because I think they're bang on form now. They're just getting back and getting themselves together. Yeah, and Spurs are a good side. Newcastle, they've seen a bit of a dip, so maybe a point there. So I think 4 points, and I think... with teams taking points off each other, that might seem negative, but I don't think 4 points is a bad turnaround. And if you kind of go with a point a game, you get towards 37, 38, up to 40 points, then it should be enough, really. So I'd say 4 points.
4 points. So we've got five off Jack, four off Hoops, and now we go to Chris.
Well, I just saw somebody on there saying that their blood type's B positive, and so they thought they're going to win all the games. Well, my blood type's B positive, but I'm not that positive, Dave, as you know me by now. You're going to be surprised by what I say now. I think we're going to lose to Fulham.
Okay.
It's Liverpool next, isn't it?
Liverpool away on Wednesday, yeah.
I think we'll beat Liverpool.
Right.
And then it's Newcastle.
Tottenham at home.
Well, I think we'll beat Spurs.
Yeah.
And I think we'll beat Newcastle.
I can't believe I'm hearing this from you, Chris.
I think we'll win those games because those teams will not do what Bournemouth did to us, for starters. And I think we'll have a bit more space. I think we will allow our creative players to have a bit more effort. I think Adama's in the form of his life at the moment. We've got to play him more. And I think he will frighten Liverpool to death. They're frightened to death of him. Have been ever since. Whenever he's played for us against Liverpool, they've been frightened to death of him. And I think I can see us getting points in all those games.
Mate, if we get nine points out of those, I reckon we need, because we're on 23 points, I reckon we need 4 to 5 wins from how many games is there left?
15.
So I reckon we need to win 1 every 3. 5 wins, that puts us on 38 points and a couple of draws. I think that sees us home.
I'm expecting the manager to manage those players this week. Some of them guys need to be not admonished, but shown that's not the way they need to play for our football club. And I think this is a manager that will do it. And I think if you don't do what he wants you to do, you're going to find yourself out of the team.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Lopetegui, I think what Jack says, because Jack's always the voice of reason on these things. I think what Jack says, I think... and a couple of others said he will have learnt a lot from that game against Bournemouth on how they dealt with us. We do have to put things into some sort of context. Outside of the bad results against Bournemouth away and at home, we have managed to put away, you know, pretty much everyone else in the bottom period, like Everton and Southampton and, you know,
West Ham.
Leeds.
I think he's had a fantastic effect on the team. Yeah. And I think that's why some of us are so cheesed off with what happened yesterday, because that, if I'd have closed my eyes, I'd have said to you that was Bruno Lage managing that team yesterday. It was back to what we were doing with him.
Mate, I get that. I kind of get that because it did feel like one of those games under Bruno Lage yesterday where we were like that. And I guess when you get in a team that is having a lot of change, new players coming in, and, you know, we had that sending off to Lamina. That was a big loss, really, for this game. I think he would have started, and, you know, Pedenti's coming back from injury. Neto, I thought he would have been on the bench. Something's happened there and he weren't on the bench. Wang's injured, who started. Traore started. I always think Traore's quite good coming on. You know,
I thought he played well yesterday, Dave.
He did play well. I gave him my man of the match as well. I can't fault him. I think what the points that you make about Nunes, but hasn't he been playing Nunes a bit more on the left hand side?
He's not helping the fullback. He's shocking, Dave. His defensive game is awful.
Jack, what do you have to say about the Nunes thing? I mean, from Chris has made that. I get where he's saying, but he's been playing him on the left a lot of the time, which isn't really his natural position, is it?
No, I mean, I think Chris kind of got it spot on earlier when he said Nunes is probably his most effective thing to do is to carry the ball, because he's very good in under pressure. You know, he's got that nice turn of pace, hasn't he? He's good at sort of shielding the ball. I mean, I think with Nunes, I think we're in a position where we can't afford to kind of have too many specialised players. You know, you look at Lamina, for example. He's come into that midfield and he's just got straight stuck in, hasn't he? And he's won tackles, he's won headers, he's pressed. You know, he's ran his legs off when he's been on the pitch. And he's done everything that kind of the team has needed him to do. I don't feel we get that with Nunes all the time. I feel like he's got some very specific skills that he can bring to the team. But he's also got some glaring weaknesses. And it's almost like we've got to kind of cater to him. It's quite similar to Adama, isn't it? When Adama's on the pitch, you have to give him the ball, because if you don't give him the ball, it's like playing with 10 men, because he doesn't track back very well. He's not particularly good at tackling or winning headers or pressing.
I actually think he's quite good at winning headers, actually. He's like a fish.
He's getting better at that.
He was against Southampton. He won everything in the air against Southampton. Unbelievable. Sar was kicking it to him every time he had the ball.
It
but no, you're right. He's very... Adama's very similar in terms of his defensive role, but we don't use him for that. But I don't think we're using Nunes. It's frustrating me. He's a quality player.
Yes.
So why put him on the left wing?
Well, I've got a question to ask you guys again on regards to that, because let's just say it's a back four, whoever he plays in the back four. Let's just stick with the back four. Outside of the back four, we're going to go with you first for this, Hoops. Who's your midfield and attackers that you think's the best for Wolves?
I think right now, I think you've got to find a place for Lamina, because I think he's different to any other midfielder you've got at the football club. So I think you've got to find a place for him. Moutinho and Neves over the years, they can often be quite similar, and Nunes can be part of that as well. I think Nunes has more to offer and more upside and potential. So I'd say Lamina, Neves and Nunes. And then, depends on form, Adama. And then I would look at someone off Kuna. I think Kuna needs a little bit more help. So Pedensive fit, Neto, of course, would be amazing, but we have to consider he's going to be coming back off two huge, significant injuries. I mean, I adore Neto. I think he's a wonderful footballer, but, only time will tell on there. There's a comment there about Boubacar. Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, we're yet to see Joe Gomez as well. But if you're asking me as of now, then I think it would be, Lamina, Nunes, Neves and Adama as the four in midfield. And then Kuna and one other is how I would see it at the moment.
Chris?
Very similar. I mean, I would, it's Neves and Lamina in the centre for me. Adama and Pedence, Neto, if he was fit, right and left. And then you've got to play Kuna with Costa or Raul up front. I think you've got to give him a hand. It's not his game, what he's playing at the moment. I bang Costa in with him for 60 minutes and put Raul on for the next 30, 40, or, do it around like that. That's how I do it. He looks lost on his own front, Kuna. He's putting the effort in. See, that's what I mean with Nunes. Kuna hasn't really done anything since he's coming to the team, but you can't fault his work and his running rate and what he's trying to do. And that's what I don't see from Nunes, which is what puts me off him,
Absolutely. Well, that's a good point. And Jack, onto you. I can see you nodding along with some of the other two guys there on certain points. Well, I mean, be interesting to hear your take on this.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think I said this way back when, we have such a chronic lack of goals in the team, yet we persist with just one striker. And it's kind of like, it's counterproductive, isn't it? I mean, yesterday at halftime, we were saying it's crying out for Costa, just as a focal point, just as so that when the ball goes into the box, even if he's not going to make first contact, he's nudging the defenders, he's creating space. So if the second ball falls to someone, they've got half a yard to get a shot away or to bring it under control. So I think back four and the goalkeeper stays as it is for now. I think you've got to play, you've almost got to go 4-4-2. And I know that's a bit sort of Mike Bassett, a bit old school, isn't it? But you've kind of got to go, Neves and Lamina for the time being as your two. I think Traore's got to have a run of starts now on the right-hand side. On the left-hand side, I know we've just sort of been saying about Nunes, whether if we can get Neto back fit and firing, he could take that left-hand side. And then you've got to play Kuna and Costa as your two, because I don't think Kuna's a number nine, is he, in the traditional sense of, he's going to bully defenders and he's going to smash people off the ball and he's going to be first in the box to react to things. He's a very good footballer. He's quick. He's got good sort of speed of thought. He needs someone up there with him. So I think we've got to kind of be almost, Lopetegui's got to kind of look at it and go, we've got a lack of goals here. We need to get more bodies in the box. And if that means I've got to play two up front and I've got to concede a bit of space in midfield by only playing two central guys, then that's kind of what he's got to do for the time being. Like we've just been saying about the games we've got coming up, the likes of Fulham and Tottenham and Newcastle, that they'll push us. So we'll have space on the break. And that's where I think our team has got a real advantage with the speed that we've got and the pace that we've got going forward. So we've got to kind of use that. But you've got to have someone in the box to take advantage of it. I mean, yesterday, Bueno put in a superb ball on the left-hand side. He just got half a yard of space and just whipped it in. It was a beautiful ball. Nobody attacked it at all. Nobody. And you're just thinking, you know, Costa's not looked even close to scoring for us, has he? But he'd have got that. He'd have just got in front of the defender and not. He didn't even need to do anything, just needed to hit him and go in. And Raul of old would have got there and other players we've had in the past. So I just feel at the minute what we're lacking is that focal point where the rest of the team can kind of go, that striker up there, whether it's Costa or whoever, I can aim for them with the cross. I know that they're there to create space for me and we work around that. I think that's what we're probably missing as much as anything. And that was kind of shown up yesterday.
For 10 minutes yesterday at the very end of the game when we had Raul and Costa up front in the box. They were both in the box. The ball was bouncing off him. Yeah, nobody got on the end of it. Nobody got a shot off. But two people in the box, it was causing them absolute pandemonium. So that you've got to get the people there. If the people aren't there, they're not going to score. And that's the problem. You know.
I think that's a good point. The other thing is, as well, that's been, we've talked about this on the members' Discord group earlier. There was talk about, you know, Neves and all the stuff. But because no Lamina, Neves was having to do all that sort of work again. When you've got Lamina in the middle of the park, it frees Neves up to be more creative. And that's what we need Neves to be. Lamina does all of that sort of dirty work, cleaning up things, winning balls, and he's got a fair bit of skill on him as well. The quite interesting thing is as well, because the two away games that you know, we've had Southampton, Lamina played for Southampton. The next one is Fulham. Well, Lamina played for Fulham as well. How many games did he play for Fulham, do we know?
He had half a season, didn't he? Was it half a season, I think?
Well, I hope he don't 20, get himself off there as well. And, he gets the thing. Like he's going to want to come back into the side and make a mark, especially going to Fulham away and stuff like that. So he's going to, I think he'll come straight back into the side.
Well, he's not going to sit on the bench, is he, after yesterday's bloody performance? So that's the other thing, you know. You get in there and you've got to hold down your place and you know the guy's been suspended for a game. You've got to try and make that place your own, so he has to sit on the bench. But nobody in that team, yeah, made sure that they were going to get on the team sheet in front of him next week.
Jack, where do you think Gomez fits into this team?
Do you know, honestly, I don't think he does at the minute. I think he's very much been signed with the future in mind. I mean, if you were to sort of look at that midfield at the minute, Neves, Nunes, Martinho, there's a fair chance that none of them will be here next year. You know, so I think Joe Gomez is a bit of forward planning. I think they're sort of introducing him gently as they can. You know, he had 10-15 minutes yesterday, 10-15 minutes at Southampton, scored a great goal and you know, that was brilliant. But I don't think he's been brought in to start at the minute. I think he's I like his physicality. I like his effort and energy. He's a bit like a wrecking ball in there, isn't he? I mean, he put in a really poor tackle yesterday. He was quite lucky to only get a yellow, I think. But I don't think he's going to be a starter at the minute.
You'd say, like, he's obviously he's going to think. I think what you're right, you're saying. But what if Lamina's that sort of disruptive player, and he's going to be with us again next season for sure, pretty much. Is him and Gomez a little bit similar, or do you see Gomez being more like the Neves role?
Yeah, possibly. And you've got Boubacar as well, haven't you? Who's again a great presser, a great tackler, you know. So there's a lot of legs in midfield all of a sudden. That's the one thing that we've perhaps always said when we've had Neves and Martinho and Sace as our midfield options and then Donker. You know, there's not a lot of legs there, you know, in terms of pace and athleticism. Well, there is now because Lamina's very athletic, Boubacar's very athletic and João Gomez looks very physical and very athletic. So it's almost like we're sort of reshaping that midfield a little bit. We're moving away from the technical, you know, footballers. And we go into a bit more of an athletic, physical midfield, which a lot of teams do now. You know, you look at sort of, you know, Manchester City, for example, with Rodri, you know, very, very physical player and people sort of move around him. You know, Partey at Arsenal, he's very similar, isn't he? He's a very physical, athletic midfielder and people sort of play around him. The likes of Odegaard and all those guys. So I do think there's a lot of forward planning in what we're doing. And I think it again, with Neves, Nunes, Martinho, like we said, we don't know what the future is with those guys. So it's important that we've got people, because you don't want to be, you know, having a summer transfer window where you're rebuilding a whole area of your team. You know, we did that. We did that in the summer with the defence, didn't we, when we let Bolly, Sace, Cody and then Donker go. And all of a sudden, you're kind of like having to almost reshape your entire sort of back four and in your defence over one pre-season. You don't want to be doing that if you can. So the fact that we've got, you know, contingency measures in place, if you like, is obviously a real positive.
I think they are energetic players, Dave. I think they are. I see them being as a two midfielders next year. I see them as being Lamina and Gomez.
I think, possibly. I'm not sure we've got enough technical ability in the team.
No, I think maybe you're doing them a little bit of a disservice. I think they're both very good on the ball, and I think they can go past people with the ball as well. And I think they can do 1-2s, and I think that as a workable midfield, I think that'll be okay.
He'd be a very strong midfield in the Championship if we went there.
he used to play midfielders like that when he was managing Seville. That's what their midfield was like when we played against them. They were very energetic, dominating guys. So I see that being as what he's going to do.
Hoops, just before we get on to closing the show with the with our performance rating and all that sort of jazz, and then the wheel. Where do you sit on that Gomez thing and the midfield for next year? How are you seeing it?
Yeah, I think it's future proofing, isn't it? I think the signing of Gomez and even Boubacar as well. I think there's one eye on the potential for this window. You get a feeling that there's perhaps a gentleman's agreement with Neves. Nunes has been courted, and Moutinho, you know, we wouldn't expect him to be putting the amount of performances out next season as well. So there will be some changes. I agree, you've got to get the balance right. And that's something to look at. I mean, one player we didn't mention in any of our lineups there was Sarabia. He's had a slow start, and maybe that's been kind. But, you know, he wouldn't be the only player to have been brought in and take a little while to get going. You know, this guy's come with, you know, a decent pedigree, and he could certainly be a good factor. He's experienced, and, you know, we could see him feature next year. At the moment, it's not happening for him, but he's coming partway through. Maybe next year it will, so maybe he'll be a fixture as well. But we've got options. You know, there was a point where we were struggling for centre midfielders, and now we've got a multiple number of resources in that.
We haven't mentioned Joe Hodge either.
We haven't mentioned Joe Hodge. He's a very, very good footballer. You know, I'm a big fan of him. So, yeah, he has potential to come into it as well. So that's an area I don't think we'll be concerned with. It will be, I think, arguably they've got to go in again in the summer for another striker. But that's another discussion. But, yeah, I think the midfield... I agree with both Jack and Chris. I think the signing of Gomez, yes, it's not a player who we're going to ship out on loan. He will be for the first team, but I think certainly he was brought with one eye that, you know, he's going to have more of a starring role next year. And it'll be a high energy, highly physical midfield. So that'll be exciting, but it won't be in the Championship, Dave. We'll be seeing that midfield in the Premiership.
I've been saying all season that we're going to stay up, and I still strongly believe that we will.
Just on that, Dave, if you think back to Lopetegui's Seville team, it was built around Ever Banega, wasn't it, that midfielder? And that's kind of what I think.
Ever Banega, that's some hell of a name that is.
Yeah, but that's kind of what he wants, I think, isn't it? He wants that midfielder that's physical, but a good footballer as well, and kind of the defence playing to him, he plays it wide, it goes back to him, it goes forward, back. It's that kind of metronome in midfield, isn't it? And I think Neves can do that. But obviously, like we've just said, there's question marks of how long Neves is going to be here. So I think he is sort of looking with one eye on a Ruben-less future, if you like.
Absolutely. Well, you know, Ruben could have gone any of the last three or four years, and then he's still here. I mean,
he owes us nothing, does he? So it's, you know,
you never know what's gonna happen. Because I mean, he shed his tear and waved goodbye, and here he is, still playing for us. And you know, Neves, when he does leave, you'll want to leave Wolves in the Premier League, that's for sure. And we should also mention that. You know, we've talked about Joe Moutinho, but he has just passed 200 games for Wolves, which I think is more than he's played for any other team, which is crazy. And he's one of the classiest footballers we've ever seen grace grace the Molyneux turf.
Not bad for £6 million.
My absolute sniff. And if Sarabia turns out to be the same sort of half the value that we've got out of Moutinho for that sort of £5 million, £4.5 million, he'll be a player as well. Right, Chris, we're going to go to you first. But just remember, everyone, there has been a secret word that all the pundits have been saying. So this is your time now over the next 5 or 10 minutes to start putting down what you think the secret word has been. Chris, man of the match, performance rating, and your moment or highlight of the whole day.
Man of the match for me, I'm going to give Semedo.
Semedo.
He did some fantastic sweeping clearances where they had got through us, and he came round into the back of the centre arse and cleared up some lovely defensive players. So I thought he's pretty much an unsung hero. He's played really well since Lopetegui took us over, and I think he's benefited from the manager. Scored again. The rating was hard. It wasn't really Hollywood blockbuster, so I think it's. I'm going to say it's a 4 for me, Dave.
A 4, okay, yeah. Fair play.
I thought that's one of the worst performances we've had. Yeah. Moment of the day. I didn't have a nice Chinese last night, and I didn't have much traffic to get home, so that was good. Moment of the day, I think, was just actually going to the match, although I didn't enjoy it. It was nice to. Nice to be at the match. I had a couple of little health wobbles in the last couple of weeks, so it was nice to get to the match and sit down and watch it. So that was good. That was it for me, really.
No, good answer. Good answer, Jack.
Similar to Chris, really. I mean, I was going to give it a 5. I thought we were the better team, but without ever really looking like we were going to score. And, yeah. You know, and like I think Lopetegui got it spot on with his comments. I think as soon as we went 1-0 down, we lost our composure. And that's kind of almost unforgivable in the Premier League, isn't it? You've got to kind of keep that composure, and you've got to your mentality.
We showed it against Everton. Yeah. We came back. We showed it against Southampton last week. We kept. Played brilliant with 10 men. You know, you'd never have known. And that's the disappointing thing in front of our home crowd. It's like almost the pressure was on them a little bit more, and they didn't cope with it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Man of the match, I was torn between Semedo and Adama. I've been quite critical of Adama in the past, but he impressed me yesterday, and I thought he was our real sort of outlet and sort of looked like our most likely creator or finisher of a goal. So I'm going to go for Adama. Moment of the day. Before the game, we met Phil Parks, Terry Wharton, and Jerry Taylor, I think his name was. Three Wolves players from the 70s, and they were doing like a Q&A about their time when it was Wolves were a Los Angeles franchise in America in the early 70s, and they were talking through some of the stories from that, and that was really interesting because I didn't know a lot about that. I've read kind of very sort of brief things about it, but it was nice to kind of get some information on that. So that was probably my highlight of the day. So,
was that at the fan zone, Jack?
It was in the fan zone, yeah.
Yeah, because I got into the steeple early and I could hear this noise going off up there. And I said, I wonder who's on up there today. Everybody seems to be interested.
Right. Yeah, it was good. Yeah,
that's good. Hoops.
I think Adama, because of the intent, he looked the most likely in the team that didn't look very likely, to be honest. I agree with Semedo. I do think there's a really good player in there. But I think Adama, for me, 5 in terms of performance. Arguably, the first half was touching a 6 or a 7, and then probably 3 or 4. So on average, it's probably a very average performance. So hence the 5 rating. Oh, God, moment of the day. No, it's a family show. Moment of the day. Well, I'm into my walking. So I walked to the game yesterday and I walked back, which was great with the traffic. So I got my steps in. So I'll take that as my moment of the day, because there wasn't much on the pitch. So, yeah, I quite enjoyed the walk there and back yesterday. Unfortunately, the 90 minutes wasn't great, but I'm still not too despondent overall. So,
no, that's absolutely fair enough. So that only gives us the opportunity to now to bring on, of course, the wheel of joy. Let's see. Ready? It's going to spin. Let's see what we get this time. We've done this one with you guys, favourite playday.
Not with me, but I don't know about the other guys. If we have, we can do it again. We can roll again.
It doesn't matter. I don't mind doing it again.
Okay, here we go then. So, favourite away day, Chris.
Grimsby Town Football Club.
Why Grimsby?
The food in the Findus family stand is the best food I've ever had at a football ground. It's fantastic.
Grimsby Town.
It's a long time since we've been there, but yeah, used to love going there.
That's a really good answer. I'm not going to lie. That's a really good answer, Grimsby Town. Jack?
I don't know. There's quite a few for different reasons. If I pick a specific sort of night that we had, Cardiff in the Championship when we won 1-0 and they missed the two penalties later on. I mean, I think that was kind of just an absolutely bonkers game, wasn't it? And that's, again, we were talking about it the other week, weren't we? That's why you go to football, isn't it? For just that roller coaster of emotion. You're up and then you're down and then it's just... So, yeah, so that night in particular was brilliant. I always like going to... I know the atmosphere is kind of a bit up and down. I always like going to Anfield and Old Trafford, those kind of traditional sort of football powerhouses, and seeing my club there competing on a level playing field. That's always good to see as well. So, yeah.
Good answer. Very good answer. And finally for you, Hoops.
It's a difficult one. There'll be some bad ones, but there's been some bloody good ones, and often because of what's happened off the pitch, you know, in terms of making a day or a night of it as well. If you can count it, because it was a neutral venue, then the Millennium Stadium, of course. I mean, I can see NK Don's referenced here, and I went to that, and that was a fantastic day. Cardiff Millennium Stadium, but I guess that's a neutral venue. So an away day, one that stands out, and there'll probably be one another after that, I think. But one that stands out was on the way to promotion at Notts Forest when Michael Kightley scored 1-0, scrappy game. Nice summer's day in Nottingham. And I think it was one of those where you kind of thought, similar to actually Derby away in that season, where you thought, we're all right here. So, yeah, lots of good ones down the years. But the one that stands out right now is Forest away. Great day, great weekend, and a great result in a great season.
Absolutely. And I don't think anyone has guessed the secret word. I'm going to give everyone 30 seconds. Everyone said the secret word. I don't think anyone has guessed the secret word. I'm going to just bring Andy Mack on the screen as well, because we've all said it, the secret word. Just before we finish, you've got 30 seconds to put, if you think what you've heard, what the secret word is for this week, that all the pundits, I'll give them a little task to slip it in. Sarah's going with traffic. That's not the right answer. Andrew,
I don't think they've seen the script, have they? Yeah.
No, has not had a clue. It's not traffic. No, we must have said... Yeah, you've done a good job. Everyone said it, but it's definitely not traffic. I can tell you that for a full fact. And, just before we go on, we get on to that. I'm going to ask Andy, because we never asked you, how many points we're getting from the next four games just before we finish? It's not relegation either. And it's not the word it. Come on. It. Go on, Andy. Tell us how many points.
You might be on mute, Andy, I think.
No, he's not on mute.
There we go.
Yeah,
I think someone said no. that we beat Tottenham at home. And I completely agree with that. I think for some reason we've struggled. We played them and then not got what we've deserved lately. So I'm thinking probably 6 points.
6 points from the four games. Yeah. Fantastic. Well, it's not the word it or the or at or but or things like that. It was actually a word. So I'm going to count you guys in. I'm going to count you one, two, three, four, and then you're going to say the word. Ready? Here we go. One, two, three, four.
Hollywood,
guys. The word with the Hollywood passes, and they've got a Hollywood manager and all of these sorts of things that they've been saying. The word is Hollywood. And the reason that the word's Hollywood is because it's the BAFTAs tonight. And I thought BAFTA was a bit difficult to slip in there. So we went with Hollywood. So the news, the secret word this week was Hollywood. So you can tell that this week it's a win for the first time to the pundits have won. Very great job for slotting that in. And no,
we could have done BAFTA though, Dave. We could have done BAFTA. I'd have made bathtub work somehow.
I'm sure you would. But yeah, the pundits have won, so that makes it 2-1 to the chat. But the pundits have pulled a goal back, and as you know, they do say 2-0 is a dangerous scoreline, because when we pull one back, the momentum shifts. So it was the word Hollywood. Apparently, we're just hearing that Dickie Davis has passed away. I think we all knew and love Dickie Davis. Not sure how old he was or anything like that. A few people saying passing childhood memories, watching him on TV. And, you know, we do pass our love and best wishes to him and obviously his family as well, because he was a little bit of a legend on TV. I do remember good old Dickie Davis.
How old was he, Dave?
I don't know how old he is.
Actually. He must have done well, because he was bloody old when I was watching him in God knows how long.
How old
was Dickie Davis? 89.
All right.
It's a decent age, isn't it? 89.
Yeah.
Yeah, 89, rest in peace. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for jumping on in today to discuss the game. Keep the faith. It's a setback. But this is Julian Lopetegui era, not the Bruno Large era, and we expect a reaction coming up against Fulham and Liverpool, and then Tottenham coming up in very, very short thingy. Thank you for everyone that's contributed to the chat. Thank you if you've subscribed tonight to the channel. We've had well over 150 watching live all the way through, and there's loads more that will watch upon catchback. And also the podcast will be hitting all major podcast providers once the producer's got it out in the morning on Monday. From myself and all of the guys, to you and your families, wherever you are, best wishes, lots of love, always
Wolves. Always Wolves.
Yeah.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates are already booked in for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.